Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Garland Enlightenment with Lulu Wildev, Katie, Gray Eyes, and Francisco. We will be doing front page picks and open poetry today, so I'm really excited about that. Just to tell you a little bit about ourselves, our group is called Late Night Poets, and we do all the radio shows in the late evening and the after midnight shows, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join, and you can learn how to write, take classes, and write your own poetry and express yourself. It's a great site. Also, to let you know, we sell poetry books. which you can purchase on Amazon.com. They're named after the group, Late Night Poets Anthologies. And we want to thank all the poets from around the world that dedicated poems for these books so that these shows could be supported. Thank you. And a little message to send out prayers to those dealing with family members that are sick or they are sick themselves. I want to, if you would please send out some prayers for Pam and Zach and Salwa. They are members of our group, and we hope that that they heal quickly. So let's go ahead and get started and pick everybody up. And my first person I'm picking up is my co-host from Scotland, Miss Katie.
Hello, my dear.
Hi, dear. And just to let you know, she's been really good about helping me read because we've been having really bad dust storms. It's March. And the winds blow anywhere from here, from 30 to 60 miles per hour, and it just stirs the pollen from the trees, from the ferns, and the mulberry trees, which are very, so many people are allergic to, and it makes it very difficult for me to breathe. So I want to thank Katie and Gray Eyes, especially Katie, because she's my voice. So if you hear her, and I love hearing her voice with her accent, sexy woman. So she'll be covering me tonight. And let's see who's on next. Ah, it's our right-hand man that picks up all our recordings. Gray Eyes from Canada. Hey, Gray. Gray?
Hello, Liu. Hello, Liu. Hello, Weaver.
Hello, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
How are you, ladies?
Okay. Hello, Gray. Welcome to the show. He is also one of my co-hosts. And we have some callers, which I'm excited about. And, of course, everybody knows that I love this man's voice, Mr. Barry White. Laurent! Hey, Laurent!
Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to have you.
Yeah.
And also, Laurent, who is French, kindly is doing me a favor tonight. He's reading for one of our other poets who writes in French, and I could read it, but I don't know if I'd be pronouncing the words right. It has to have a Latin accent to it, but I don't think that's what's needed here. We needed another Frenchman. Thank you, Laurent. And we have another caller, 703. Who am I speaking with?
Miriam.
Hi, Miriam. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Happy to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I can stay about a half hour tonight.
Okay. Miss Katie, you heard that?
Yes, no problem. I've got you lined up already.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. We're ready for our first poem.
Ah, you say that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know.
No, I haven't got you first, Miriam. I've got another one up first, and then it will be you. So my apologies. The first one we have is Wet Tendrils by Wanda Lee Brayton. And I'm sending that to the group now. And I'll start off the evening by reading this one. Only because I think the title is fabulous. So here we have Wet Tendrils. I gather wet tendrils, separated strands, captured sunlight, you said, gold, copper, and silver from beneath the soil, auburn leaves, rustled whispers, felled wings of dark hues, grey mist from distant shores. I combed as quiet ritual shone in your eyes, unable to resist this fragrant bouquet. End poem.
You did a beautiful job in reading her Brevity by Wanda Lee Brayton. And so let's go ahead and get some comments. Gray, what did you think of that lovely Brevity that Wanda wrote? And thank you, Miss Katie, for reading.
I thought it was beautiful. I mean, you know, oh, sorry, I just lost my link here. Okay. But, you know, I really loved the descriptive nature. and the actual nature itself in there. Auburn leaves rustled whispers, bell wings of dark hue, gray mist from distant shores. You know, so visceral and engaging that it's really a lovely, lovely little gravity. And you did a beautiful job reading it too.
Agreed. Thank you, Greg. And Laurent, I would love to know what you thought of Wanda's poem.
Wanda, who is so skillful at poetry. It's a simple thing, perhaps, combing and brushing, but at the same time, so meaningful and relatable. I've watched women comb their long waist-length hair, and it is captivating in many ways. And if you are a partner to that individual, and she says, quiet as I comb, as quiet ritual shone in your eyes. And for him, a ritual is something to be observed. Unable to resist this fragrant bouquet. I love the way she calls, she uses wet tendrils. Because wet tendrils are very sensitive parts of a plant. And they will direct which way the plant will grow. And so that's a really nice way of adding meaning to what is going on here. Beautifully done.
Agreed. And Miriam, I would love to know your thoughts on Wanda's poem.
A beautiful picture in the poem and the photograph that illustrates it, I also find very lovely. The colors. It would be unusual, I think, for one person to have that many colors in their hair, but I have known some people who had almost that many, if not that many, different colors. So it could be realistic. And what I found difficult as I read the poem was figuring out the story. It took a few readings to get. And I think what we're talking about here is that the poet is combing her own hair and see what the reaction of her husband is. And it's a love poem in itself. The action is love for her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in her author's notes, she noted that her husband had taken this picture. And, you know, and it's just beautiful because when hair is wet, it's a completely different color than when it's dry. And, you know, I can just imagine the sun shining on it. If she was at the beach, she could have had, like, little particles of sand in her hair, which have the quartz-like color that, you know, shows these rich colors. And, you know, and her hair, and I could just see her sitting there on the shores, you know, like you were bringing up, Miriam, combing her hair in front of her husband's eyes. And, you know, sometimes when you use different, it could be the fragrance of the sea salt, the nature. It could be, you know, a mixture of, you know, like some, there's so many shampoos now with floral scents that it could have picked up those scents too. But, you know, it's just a beautiful, rich poem in colors. And I really enjoyed listening to you read this, Katie. I would like to know your thoughts, sweetheart.
Oh, yes, this was, as I said, I loved the title. The title was so evocative. Wet tendrils can tell you so many things that it might pertain to. But hair, I mean, that, I love long hair. I think it looks absolutely beautiful. And I can understand why that would be a ritual to comb or brush that hair. Lovely. I thought it was just a lovely tribute. And the fact that her husband took the photograph just adds that certain je ne sais quoi. So, yes. Most enjoyable. Bit of French there. Bit of French thrown in there. Wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
Right.
Can't wait.
True. And the next one is, I'm not going to say the foreign part of it because I couldn't pronounce it, but it's Free by our own Miriam. And Miriam, if you would be so good as to read this for us, please.
Well, I wouldn't. I thought about asking somebody else to read it for me, but I would not be so mean. I would just. I'd like to say
I would listen
because this represents the best of Miriam Kilmer's poetry.
Oh, my.
No,
can't
it's good. Well, listen.
Lundsne grunted free. This Lundsne is fondly dictated to all poets who ply their craft without resort to generked or stood. Here's to still pencils, nick, pens, curven, toner, pigment, and pixels, manipulated by human bodes and human brains. Love you. Now, I read this to another group of poems, and I asked them to help me decide. Should I read you the translation or just leave you? And leave you this way. And some of my friends said that I should translate it, and others said I should just leave it as is and let you figure it out. But I decided I would let you tell me, do you want me to read you the translation or not?
Oh, no, it's fine. I really liked how you did this. You took out some of the vowels.
Yep.
You know, I was looking over this, and I got a big kick, and I started smiling when you said, here's to, oh, I can't, Dibble? Pen? Calls?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Nick, pens, carbon, toner. I just started laughing when I saw that line. I got such a pigments and pixels. I enjoyed it so much, Miriam. I enjoyed listening to you read it, and I did get a big kick out of those lines. And your Valentine, guaranteed. It's wonderful, clever, right, Miriam? What did you think about her poem, Miss Katie?
Oh, you know I'm a fan, but this is just wonderful. I mean, no, I didn't need it translated either, because they do say that if you do take out vowels, people can still read perfectly adequately, knowing exactly what the word is going to be anyway. But the fact that it was the I loved it. I thought, and you reading it, oh my goodness, I bet you're wishing you hadn't done it halfway through. I loved it. So clever. And yeah, you know how I feel about AI assisted, so I will not swear, I promise, but they are a load of, it is a load of, and we'll leave it at that. So wonderfully done. Thank you so much.
Agreed. Thank you, Mira. Thank you, Katie. And Laurent, I'd like to know what you thought of Miriam's tongue twister.
Well, initially I didn't know what to think. Then as I looked at it and I realized what was going on, I thought it was very clever. It's a real shot across the bows of AI, as far as I'm concerned. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
It stunned him. He's stunned.
Gray, you're on mute.
I was, yeah. But I had a fantastic comment, Miriam, but you're going to have to settle for this one. But you did a beautiful read on that fantastic poem. I really enjoyed your wordplay. You did a fantastic job with your write, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. And Miriam, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Are you sure nobody wants? I mean, I have trouble figuring out what I meant myself. If you want me to read you the translation, I'm more than willing.
Well, you know what? When you just that epiphany that you just got to go in there and you have this great idea and you just let it rip. And, you know, I have done that. In fact, I have talked to Gray about this. You know, I'll go back and look at some of my poems that I've written, and I'm just like, oh, I wrote that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. So you must have had a great time writing that.
Oh, and it was so much fun to have this picked as a front page pick. I would never have guessed that would happen.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. And we're ready for, oh, we got a caller. Hold on a second. Hello, caller 512. Who am I speaking with? And it'll,
oh.
There you go. 512. Hi.
Oh, yes.
Hola, Francisco.
Me.
How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing okay, doing okay. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Frank. Did you get to hear Miriam's poem?
Yes, but I would like to say hello as well to everybody, Laurent, and Ray is on there as well.
Go ahead.
Yes, the poem itself was a very unique poem. I have to say it was not a poem that I'm used to, but I really enjoyed that unique nature of the poem. Obviously, there is something to the poem more than just the words composed here. And I really enjoyed that last line, love you. It's really, that's the telling thing there of this poem. So this was overall, it was just a masterful inclusion there of usage of words and metaphors to convey love.
Wonderful, wonderful comment. Yeah, thank you, Francisco.
You're welcome.
And welcome to the show. And I want to say hi to Robbie, who's out in the audience listening, and also to Zog. So we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is, it is Black Locust by Nicholas Black. Oh, cool. And Laurent, let's put you to work, shall we? This sounds right up your avenue. So would you care to read this one for us?
By all means. Black Locust by Nicholas Black. The lilac sprouts begin to breach the petal-covered ground. Beneath the fruits lie fragile roots, where sustenance is found, what hides behind the garden walls but light that trickles through, these golden rays they feed upon, then drink the fallen dew. Rows of colored flowers line the garden's slightly steps, daffodils and daisies, where the garden tools are kept, sprinkled in between the vines, like flowers golden blue, softly sipping carbon air, out broadening the view. Spotted in the corners are the flowers blue and red, multicolored petals, turning eyes upon the bed. Lotuses of every sort are strewn about the rows. Centerpiece is raised, containing flowers that grow. Between the orchid grouping and a brightly glowing rose, covered by the sprawl, beneath gardenias in their glow, here we find a darling bloom, engulfed by colors vast, single blackened flower that the eyes refuse to pass. End poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous read, Laurent, of Nicholas Black's poem. I wish people could see this beautiful photograph of a lotus water garden, and it appears to be in a Japanese setting in the background.
Isn't that gorgeous?
And this black lotus with the hot pink innards that is just reaching outward is, in, you know, just on that beautiful green lily pad. I've got to say, you know, I loved each stanza, but my favorite was the last. Between the orchid grouping and a brightly glowing rose, covered by the sprawl beneath gardenias in their glow, here we find a darling bloom. I just, that's just so beautiful. Engulfed by colors vast, a single blackened flower that the eyes refuse to pass. You know, there's just something about nature, you know, especially if you like sitting in nature and admiring the delicate beauty of the petals and the colors. And, you know, this setting is just absolutely stunning. And this is just beautifully penned, Nick, and I would love to know, and you read it beautifully, Laurent, what you thought about this poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, I mean, you saying it, that picture of the lotus, absolutely gorgeous, and in the Japanese setting. We were so lucky when so many, many years ago, China and Japan opened up with England for, you know, for the, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, never mind, it's gone. My brain. Yes, so you could get things from China and Japan and admire them, because we have nothing like they have. They are just able to do everything so exquisitely, and so you have this beautiful piece of poetry written about this lovely garden and the flowers in it. I just thought it was mm-hmm. beautiful. It just, the sounds of all the colours and the fact that it was so well grouped and it worked beautifully. Ah, I'm mm-hmm. envious of somebody who can write like that. Wonderfully done. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Gray, I'd like to know what you thought of Nicholas' front page pick.
You know, I kind of closed my eyes and allowed myself to drift off into the words, and it's such a beautiful place that he describes. You know, it's so atmospheric and engaging. He paints a beautiful picture of this black rose as it floats amongst all the other colors. It stands out so brightly on its own.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. And Narant, you read this poem beautifully. I'd love to know your opinion.
Well, the entire thing is eye-opening, at least for me, because Nicholas really captured something special here. The, you know, nature is an artist who paints the world with flowers with a magnificent palette, enjoying color combinations that sometimes imagination can't begin to come up with. This is stunning flower. The picture is just unique. Mm-hmm. That has to be a very valuable flower. Any of the lines could serve, as far as I'm concerned, as a good example. I especially liked in the first stanza, what hides behind the garden walls but light that trickles through these golden mm-hmm. rays they feed upon, then drinks of fallen dew. Remarkable piece.
Great. Beautiful comment, Laurent. Thank you, Anne Reed. And Miriam, what did you think of Nicholas's poem?
It's a very beautifully balanced between the sound, the images, and the meaning. Don't even have to wonder which is more important in this poem. They just all work very well together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what any black flowers in nature, and I know
yeah,
that
there are.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the people who design flowers have mm-hmm. often had a difficult time getting a perfectly black flower, and I can tell you they're very difficult to photograph, because if you get get your camera set so that you get some detail in the flower itself, everything around it goes really bright. But the poem is what has really grabbed my attention, that it's very beautifully constructed.
Mm-hmm. They have a, a flower. It's called a bearded flower and iris. And the bottom leaves that fall down are black, and the top leaves are white. You know, I have some that I'm growing in my yard that are this rich, rich purple, and they have sometimes have black lines in them and stuff. So, you know, they have there's several flowers, and they're, you know, they're really beautiful. They've got one that's almost looks like a purple black iris, bearded iris. And they do have some beautiful, beautiful flowers. You know, look up Google black flowers, and it'll give you a whole bunch of different types of flowers. And like there's a lotus that's two different colors, and some of the irises are two different colors.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Frank, what did you think of Nicholas's poem?
Yes. This took me back to the botanical gardens in Spain, they're very much abundant with not particularly this type of flower, but an array of flowers. And I really like the notion here, provided here, with just the illustration of the flowers, the background, just the whole nature of the poem itself reflected within the differences there of Mother Nature and just the flowers. It's just a breathtaking poem. I enjoy flowers, so I truly enjoyed this poem.
Thank you, Francisco. Beautiful comment. And we're back to you, Miss Katie, for another front page today.
All righty. And next we have With Open Eyes by Chinaski. And this is a SoundCloud. If Gray would be so kind as to get that up, please.
Resembling us. Cube stern loop to loop. Fluttering butterflies. Escaping through vacant canyons. When the smoke lifts, we were left to fathomless horizon. My sweet woman, we've been on this journey. Open cribs with a lifetime with direction. Footprints evenly matched to our home. Towards union, roads led us here. Small stained glass in churches.
And I want to thank, congratulations to Chinaski, and thank him for his wonderful audio. I love it when I can hear the poet read their own words with their own, you know, their own voice and accents, and, you know, it just fascinates me. You know, this is a short brevity for Chinaski, and his couplets are beautiful. This reminds me of somebody deeply in love who's been in a relationship for a long time, you know, where he talks about what he has experienced in his life with her. My sweet woman, we are on this journey, open cribs with a lifetime, with direction, footprints matched to our home, you know, it just made me think of, you know, such beautiful, happy thoughts, you know. The sound, you know, when I was listening to him, you know, the sound of your footprints and, you know, your woman, the woman that you love, your wife, that's his, you know, he's speaking of his lifetime partner. And the pitter-patter of children's feet running into the front door with their parents and, you know, making these memories. I thought this was gorgeous. It was just a wonderful, wonderful vision of, you know, everything that he was talking about. And I'd like to know what you thought of his poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, yes, this was definitely one that was written with lots and lots of love. I do like his reading voice. It's very melodious. So that really adds to everything. Mm-hmm. It gives it that depth and life that he wouldn't otherwise probably have. But the fluttering butterflies escape through vacant canyons. Yeah, that's just how quickly your thoughts and dreams go. You know, you could want so many things and hope for so many things, but they are like smoke, and they lift and they go. So grab onto them while you can. And this is what this is about, I think, yeah? Enjoying all of the things they have together. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very thoughtful and sweet. So thank you, Chineska.
Great. Thank you. A wonderful comment, Miss Katie. And Gray Eyes, what are your thoughts on Chinaski's poem?
I enjoyed it. You know, to me it speaks of a relationship, you know, resembling us, ice cubes stirring loop the loop in the bottomless drinks. And then fluttering butterflies escape through vacant canyons. You know, when you're in love, those butterflies fill up every chamber of your heart, and so you can picture that as you read it. And then when smoke lifts, we are left to fathom the shores. You know, you're on that journey with your lover, and you could be carried away in each other's love, you know, to places unknown and unseen by mankind in your mental travels. You know, like, I mean, I'm talking, you know, that cosmic connection. a cosmic entanglement. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're doing now is affecting the future. And so that was beautiful, very deep and well read.
Wonderful, wonderful comment, Gray. Thank you. And how about you, Laurent?
You know, I thought your reaction to this poem, Louie, was really comprehensive. I mean, you hit just about everything you needed to hit on this. But this poem speaks to me of two life forces. The first stanza, mm-hmm. where you have ice cubes stirring, loop the loop in bottomless drinks, suggests a mental image of the repetition of things and really the repetition in bottomless drinks. Never ending. Mm-hmm. I like Gray's comment on the floating butterflies and the fathomless shores is also good. But everything really was contained in those lines by sweet woman, we are on this journey. And then, Louie, you really nailed it with the open eyes, the children, footprints matched to our home. Just well done, Paul.
Thank you, Laura. Wonderful comment. And Francisco, what did you think?
Yes, I thought overall the poem, the imagery of this poem was very striking. I agree what's been said here. You know, the notion there of using the metaphors of the butterflies here and the phantom of the shores, it gives a perspective of what the relationship is, the vision as well. And in particular, the images there of stained glass and churches. Yes, this piece was just a very, very intellectual piece as well. Because it does give you from another angle the whole notion of the up and downs of love. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, yeah.
Hello,
okay.
Where are you?
Well, she'll be back, I think, in a moment or two. And so, Gray, would you like to take over and ask the next person to comment?
I think everyone.
She said she got dropped.
Yeah, all right, no problem. Okay, I'll put up the next piece of poetry then. And next we have Landscaping by Self Rising Mojo. I got it right. I do not believe it. Cool. Frank, would you be so kind as to read this for us, please?
Oh, if all do this, I will. This is a poem by Self-Rising Mojo. It's called Landscaping, and it goes like this. The poplar was tall as a country mile, stood on its end before giving up to gusts squeezed between narrow edges of a mountain glen. The hole it left by letting go is so deep, you can see the next day's dot if the hour is late. Afternoon in the root ball lie like fingers pulled from a glove, nails stained by lifetime spent, working with her hands, ferns gather like crowds drawn to disaster, crouched low against a sheer steer, lurking family members, pained, pinned with gale force and call the forest of its old and infirm. Last year's leaves settle like used carpet on a clean floor. Hardwoods hoe the ground away. Cattle ride out a storm. Sun pushes light like the air, skittish whistles. Wind like a chain planting shrubs. All thumbs and not one of them green. End of poem.
Great read, Frank. Weaver, would you like to say the poem?
Yes, I thought it was... well, first of all, great title, obviously. I like that a lot. And I thought it was just the whole symphony of nature and all the things in nature that make us happy to see them or use them or, you know, cull them or whatever we need to do with them. And I think that... The last couple of lines kind of just said it all, didn't it? Shrubs, all thumbs and not one of them green.
Well, I was dropped.
I know. Gray told me. Hello. Right, back
hello,
to you.
Hello,
okay.
Hello.
Everybody's on, so I'm going to let Gray take this over for right now. Since I did hear, Frank, I did hear your last couple of lines of Self-Rising Mother's poem, and I thought you did it wonderfully, so I'm going to give it back to Gray so that he can finish Ask Everybody, because I just got on.
All right, Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Well, we all landscape to one degree or another, and we do it with purpose, and we set it up the way we want to set it up. We move the earth, we plant the seeds, do what we do according to a plan. Nature doesn't really have a plan, because, you know, that's obvious just from the end, but all thumbs and not one of them green. Well, you know, if you have a green thumb, you can grow anything. But in this case, you know, the destruction of the tree due to the winds and the personification of the ferns, which gather like crowds drawn to disaster, crouch low against the sheer, still lurking family members pinned where guerrilla forces culled the forest of its old and infirm. Here, this is the way nature landscapes. And I thought that was fascinating and beautifully written.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Mr. Laurel. But yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, landscaping is something that Mother Nature can do. You know, it can pluck cities out of the ground, buildings and all, tree roots and all. But, you know, the power of nature is fierce. When those winds blow, they knock down the biggest trees down. And that ain't an easy feat. You know, you need to, I mean, you know, I've tried to knock trees down with machinery. And, you know, I'm just flabbergasted at how much effort it took to knock this tree down with a big machine. And yet the wind can just do it in a quick, you know, gust and it's gone. So, yeah, it's amazing. Mother Nature is fantastic at its landscaping, for sure. Not too skilled at it, but definitely good at it, wreaking havoc of changing things. But yeah, great read, Weaver. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Was it Frank that read it? I think it was.
Oh, could be. Yeah.
I think he hasn't commented yet.
That's okay, my friends. I
need to make a list, Craig.
It sounds like Katie at times.
Well, what did you think of,
good one.
What did you think of the poem, Frank?
Yeah, I thought the poem I really liked the whole notion of beginning the poem with the pot was tall as a country mile. You know, the things that nature does is the things that we realize that what was said, you know, Mother Nature has a course of its own. You know, we are the ones who change and alter it most of the times. And I really like that whole notion that's being thrown and actually being offered in this poem here. And, you know, to think that what really, you know, encompasses a poem like this, such as landscaping, it really makes you more envious to a certain extent of our own doings.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you, Francisco, and thank you, Gray and Katie, for taking over from me while I got dropped, and we're ready for our next poem.
And the next one up is Flavors by Plum Crazy. Oh, this sounds like it's going to be fun. And Gray, would you be an absolute angel and read this one for us, please?
Sure, yeah, you bet. Okay, 1 second here. Just going to get there. Refresh my page. Here we go. Flavors. 32 Flavors by Plum Crazy. I think Bobby had a huge bowl of ice cream. All 32 flavors. Because Bobby likes variety, in case you didn't know, for breakfast at noon. Then, Bobby had his favorite ex-wife give him a one-hour Swedish massage and enjoyed a Mexican siesta with her, along with a cup of Irish coffee at her mansion, along with Bobby's all-time favorite German chocolate birthday cake. Next, he flew to Woodstock for one more cup of coffee before flying to Alicia Keys' house in Tennessee, in order to watch her sunbathe in the nude. It had been rumored that Bobby actually took off his shirt, but had failed at getting a tan. Then he wrote and recorded yet another album which included an awful lot of middle finger pointing songs. He also wrote a book about the experience. He then wrote another book, which is known as Chronicles Part Deux, which, by the way, only took him 10 minutes to write. He then flew incognito to visit his favorite actress, Betty White, just so he could feel younger, and had a date with her. The two of them had way too much Italian wine to drink. Bob was spotted leaving Betty's mansion around 1 a.m., after which he was then spotted in some remote neighborhood in Greenwich Village. This was around 2 a.m. Two aging cops had spotted him and detained him for questioning. Naturally, they didn't recognize him, but because he claimed that he was the Great White Wonder, Mr. Bob Dylan, but couldn't prove it because he had left his identification at Betty White's house, the Asian cops arrested him, but they were lucky enough to still ask him for his autograph, just as a joke. Turns out, the next day, they discovered that he was, in fact, incredibly famous, iconic Bob Dylan, and sold his autograph to Soy Bomb for $1,000,000, thus proving the fact is stranger than fiction. And so
you did a fabulous read of Plum Crazy's poem. I really enjoyed listening to you read his prose. You know, this is fabulous writing. You know, he's a fan. He loves Bob Dylan. And he says, you know, when you know a movie star, you watch their lives and, you know, you read about what happens to them and stuff like that. So, you know, you can write and pin stories so lifelike as if they have done some of these things, whether they have or not, you know. And, you know, I enjoyed, you know, the imagery in here, you know, who he was, you know, he was, you know, he was spotted leaving Betty's mansion, Betty White, and I love Betty White. She is such a snap, to me, she reminds me of a beautiful flower snapdragon. And he says that they were 1 a.m., which he was then spotted in some remote neighborhood in Greenwich Village. This was around 2 a.m. Two Asian cops had spotted him and had detained him for questioning. You know, it made me smile. It made me laugh. And I just thought this was fabulous. And like I said before, you did a fabulous job in reading it, Gray. I liked when you were saying, for $1,000,000,000.
Oh, God, he blew my ears up there.
And I would love to know what you thought of this prose, Miss Katie.
Oh, yes, epic. There's so much. You can tell the tongue-in-cheek. There's fun. There's just, what can I do that will make this, you know, a peon to somebody who I really enjoy and really have great delight in listening to. And I thought this was great. A little bit of it kind of went over my head because, obviously, I don't know that much about the kind of sayings and people that you have there. So I missed a couple of things, although I do
movie
know
stars,
most of the names.
Rock singers.
I Alicia Keys I knew, and I did recognize the Betty White reference, although not much of her. But, I mean, the man himself, who could not know the man himself? So, yes, I thought it was very well done. I love the Asian cops arrested him. You want that to have happened, don't you? Well, I don't have any identification on me, but I am actually, you know, Bob Dylan. Oh, yeah, right, mate. Okay. Yeah, I suppose we all look at,
there you
like
go,
Asian people. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. So I wonderfully done. I thought it was very, very, well, funny and interesting and clever. Thank you.
Agreed. And Laurent, what did you think?
I liked it, actually. At first I didn't, because if you know anything about Bob Dylan, I really don't think you'd be the kind of person who would become kind of a self-indulgent rock star, jet setter. And yet, look, it's possible. Now, look, one of my small claims to fame is that I belonged to a community group in 1965 that went to the Newport Folk Festivals. And we went in 1965, and Bob Dylan was there that year. So he had played, among other things, Maggie's Farm. Now, if you're at all familiar with Maggie's Farm, it is just ironic and iconic and kind of acidic, free verse that allows somebody to believe he might actually have done all the things that are in his poem. I might not agree with what he did in the piece, which is a prose piece, not a poem, but it was well written. I enjoyed it. It was imaginative. And it has just that little bit of humor that makes you enjoy the piece. Well, not a little bit of humor, quite a bit of humor.
Thank you, Laurent. And Francisco, what did you think of Plum Creek?
Yes, I know Bob Dylan. I don't know much about his whole career. But, you know, and what's been written here, you know, these interesting tidbits of facts here, supposedly, you know, it makes you just wonder the lifestyle of a rock star, you know, to what degree they would do or go, to what extent, you know, for one thing or for another. And I really enjoyed it, the 32 Flavors that came out, you know, that really stuck into my head there. But overall, I thought the piece was, the prose piece was just an excellent piece. It had a tumor. And I was a little bit disappointed because I thought Katie would say the same as Gray would say, millions, kajillion dollars there.
And Gray, you did a fabulous job in reading Plum Crazy's piece, front page pick, and I would like to know what you thought.
Well, nothing personal, Plum Crazy, but I was not a fan of Bob Dylan. I couldn't handle his nasally singing. You couldn't understand the damn word the guy said, in my opinion. So, I mean, you know,
sometimes when you call the show, you sound like this.
I know I do, but, you know, I mean, I don't want to hear a whole goddamn song about this kind of stuff right now. You know what I'm saying? Give me a guitar and I'm Bob Dylan.
But, no, I thought it was well written, and it was an excellent read as well. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
you know,
so
you do realize, my...
I do realize what, Lauren?
Well, I'm just a little flabbergasted. I mean, at one point, this guy was the spokesman of a generation. So you might not have liked his voice, but what he wrote about, come on now, spokesman of a generation.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. His songs were great, but I just couldn't handle his singing.
Me either.
Uh-huh. Just saying it like it is.
Okay, Miss Katie, we are ready for our next poem. All righty, honey, come right up. I have for you. I have Dead Times by Frey.
Hallelujah.
It's only three lines.
It's not, is it? Well, I'm going to ask you to read it, please, Frank.
Oh, you torture me now. this poem is by Nosling Poems. It's called Knitting Time, Frayed Thread. Knitting Time's Frayed Thread. Kaleidoscope Memories, Kismet Keystrokes. In the poem.
Mm-hmm. You did a fabulous read of Athena's poem, and congratulations on your front page pick. You know, I love her alliteration. I love the words she used. I thought it was wonderful, especially Kismet's keystrokes. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. So,
I agree with that.
Good read. And what did you think, Miss Katie?
Oh, yes. I mean, that, sorry, Frank, won't do that again. No, I thought this was very, very clever. I mean, the fact that she's writing 17 syllables or less using the letter K is, you know, I mean, she's thrown that K in there. You got more K's in that than you've got in T's. You know, it's a lot of K's. So, yeah, I thought it was very clever, and I liked it a lot. I love kaleidoscopes. I'm like a real loony where kaleidoscopes are concerned. Mm-hmm. I just love the patterns and the colors. And so that, to me, was, you know, that gave it a whole charisma that it may not have had without that. But, yes, very, very clever, and I enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And, Gray, what did you think?
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's such a powerful little brevity. There's so much inside of this, you know, meeting times, freed thread, you know, you can just picture that thread fraying as time goes on. And then kaleidoscope memories, you know, where you just keep spinning that thing, the memories keep changing and adjusting. But I also enjoyed Kismet's keystrokes, you know, like mm-hmm. Kismet is... karma, I guess it is, right? Or I'm not too sure exactly what kismet is, but
yeah, you know, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a Jewish.
Destiny. You know, fate.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical force or personified power that determines the course of the future events. Dun dun dun. Mm-hmm. But no. You know, kismet, you get what you put out. So I thought that was a wonderful way of putting, you know, kismet's keystroke. It speaks poetically to what you do and say in this world coming back at you. So excellent right, and great read, Frank.
And fabulous comment, Gray. Got your thinking cap on tonight. I'm going to send you a little gold star to put on your shirt. What did you think?
Very, very skillful. Knitting times, great thread. You know, you're knitting something, you're creating perhaps a cover of some kind, using the memories, which are kaleidoscopic, and all of which are pushed by destiny in a certain direction. So I thought she met the challenge of the case very well. And Frank, I admit, you know, it was short, which is a disappointment because you read so well. But your job was to make love to each one of those 17 syllables and bring this alive.
So maybe if I fall inside, perhaps, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Laurent. And, of course, you did a fabulous read, Frank, and I would like to know your thoughts.
Well, you know, after getting up to K's, yeah, you know, of course, this put a little in, okay.
Special K's.
I'm gonna go with the lines that Laurent was just saying here, how he used each one of the lines here to basically give us, you know, start with a thread, and they go on to the memories, and then the kismet at the end. I thought this was I'm not sure if it's a haiku, but I thought overall the piece was masterful, because she was able to convey in three lines here, the essential of what something that begins in the thread and something that ends, that evolves with the memories in something that ends in the kismet. So I thought you did a fantastic job.
Thank you, and congratulations. Nose ring poems, our very own Athena. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okie dokie. I must admit that kismet reminds me of the old saying that I used to write at the end of my emails. Karma. It started karma, and it basically said, I'm terribly sorry, it would appear my karma has run over your dogma.
I thought you were going to say dog there for a second there, Katie.
Yeah, well, almost. Jeez, Frank, I've got no control over them. Okay. Next we have Sweetly Engaged by Betty Page, and I'll give this one a read. This is Sweetly Engaged. Tropical rainbows, neon lights are flickering, colourful drinks served. Retro cars zoom past, full moon high above us shines, hanging with the stars. Hollywood daydreams, we're all just living the life, chatting time away. dining on gourmet, getting high, toasting champagne, rock and roll's playing. She's sipping her drink, unaware that he's looking, talking, and laughing, just living it up. Then suddenly their eyes meet. Time seems to have stopped. Her heart's racing fast, pounding. He's gazing at her. She can't look away. Both are mesmerized, nervous. He's walking towards her. Both are just smiling. Sassy fine, he winks, says, come away with me, love. Let us get out of here. Sweet whirlwind romance, totally captivated, such a gentleman. Cruising down sunset, turning on the radio, wind blows through their hair. She's voluptuous, long auburn hair, emerald eyes in stiletto heels. She's biting her lip as her beautiful dress flows, a total gypsy. Flowers in her hair, she came from San Francisco. He's from the outskirts. She's seduced wildly. He's not like the other guys. He's adventurous. Dressed up so divine, he looks so hot in those pants and shirt and cover of his choir. And he's with me. He's so fine, she says in her mind. Feeling so shy now, nervously, she sweetly smiles, has the butterflies. Twirls her hair, flirting, puts on her cherry lip gloss in her hand mirror. She's all dolled up now, bronze rose-coloured golden cheeks, tanned by summertime. Soft nude subtle skin in pina colada breeze, palm trees are swaying. Picturesque evening, they drive by Beverly Hills, wind down to the beach. On a moonlit drive, everyone's out on the town, cruising through canyons. Scenic, pretty views, Route 66 is divine, escaping the crowds. Her man, so handsome, gazing in his sky blue eyes, awaits his sweet kiss. Sitting by the shore, he leans in and kisses her, and she leans in as well. Waves crash, tumble down. You can hear the spraying mist creating rainbows. Magnets, electric, both shocked at what they have done. Amazing kisses. Then they kiss some more. Feel as if a bolt of lightning running through their veins. Love songs are playing. They indulge passionately, truly making out. Most fantastic night. Next Palm Springs, maybe Vegas, ready for new thrills. Swimming pools and spas, retro-style gambling, free drinks, sipping drinks poolside. California dream, magical, mystical night, so sweetly engaged. End poem.
Oh, you did a wonderful read of Betty Page's poem. I was looking at her author's notes. She says that she chose a prompt, and she says that she had read a book about Sunset Strip and Route 66, all the amazing stories of retro nightclubs and nightlife full of classy ladies and classy gentlemen dancing at Ciro's and other places like the Whiskey, Agogo, the Via Nova, was where all the stars met and still do to this day. Hollywood, California is an amazing place to have fun in, and in my story is where this classy lady and classy fine gentleman met. PCH also is such a beautiful drive. So in my story, they cruise into a retro fancy car, winding their way to the beach, and soon make out sweetly, so passionately, as palm trees sway and waves crash, with love songs playing gently in the background, and a tropical summertime dream date. This is where the two lovers fall in love and become so sweetly engaged beneath a full moon ass filled with twinkling stars. You know, I thought this was, just it was so cool to be pulled back into the 1960s, you know, Route 66, the California drive, winding down canyon roads, and, you know, their first kiss that, you know, feels as a bolt of lightning running through their veins. And then, you know, you could just see the top down, and love songs are playing and as they indulge, passionately, fully making out. You know, I love, I could read more. I really loved her imagery here, and I really thought she caught that, you know, encapsulated that time in her poem. This was fantastic. I enjoyed it so much, Betty Page, and you did a great read, Miss Katie. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of Betty's poem?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. You could really feel the retro in it. And you know, when you're parking overlooking the cities of lovers, you know, that's a beautiful spot to be. I thought the whole poem was steeped in atmosphere and sweet and engaging throughout. So, yeah, wonderful job and great read.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I really liked it. The poet offers us really an idealized, iconic look at a magic dream. And it is, top to bottom, all the wonderful things and the wonderful ways that we can love each other, the world in which we love. Well, sweetly engaged. When you're sweetly engaged and you have that strong flush of love and romance in your heart and in your mind and in your body, and you're looking forward to making love and doing everything that's new with this new person, all of that comes through for me in this piece. I really liked it.
Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And how about you, Francisco?
Well, first of all, I think I need a pina colada. And I need to get I need to get over there because this sounds like a wonderful, wonderful place. I thought the poem overall was just what Laurent said, you know. It encompasses just a wonderful, seductive night between two lovers, you know. And you have nature around you and the things that surround you. So this poem really is really embedded in my mind with the metaphor throughout. But I have to say, once more, I need to get to this place lately here because a pina colada and long as a good atmosphere is always will make for a good poem.
Agreed. I could use a pina colada right now, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Pina my colada.
Oh, there you go. Now we have a song tonight.
Mm-hmm. And Miss Katie, you did a fabulous read. What did you think of Betty's poem?
Sorry, I stumbled a couple of times, Betty. My apologies on that. But it was wonderful to read. Her work is always so well done, so well thought out, that it's a joy to read it. And we have California Dreams. California Dreaming. Mm-hmm. On such a wind. Yes, I love that. Love that song. So that was playing in my mind as I was enjoying it. I thought you did it wonderfully. Beautifully done as usual. So thank you, Betty, for sharing.
And we're ready for our next poem. And in fact, it's the front page pick. I mean, open poetry time.
Okay, make up your mind. Which one do you want? No, it's okay. I've got them. I've got the first open poetry. This is The Days Gone By and I Remain. That wasn't the one I met. Oh, well. How did that happen?
Laurent can read it. Since I wanted to let you
ready
know
to
that
go.
She said that she was very honored that you were reading her poem tonight, Laurent, and that she loved it.
Well, I know where I
got it. The honor is all mine.
Okay, cool. So there it is there for you.
It's called The Days Go By and I Remain. Le jour coule et moi je demeure. The days go by and I remain. I'm lost in my thoughts, I cannot escape. Tomorrow at dawn, as soon as my eyes sparkle, my thoughts will know, little by little, where to go. They will fly to the heavens, with memories of smiles, with leaves of flowers. Les jours coulent, et moi je demeure. Je suis perdu dans mes pensées. Je ne peux y échapper. Demain, dès l'aube, dès que mes yeux s'éveilleront, mes pensées seront petit à petit aller. Elles s'envoleront vers les cieux avec des souvenirs de beaux sourires, avec des pétales de fleurs. End point.
Mm. Oh, I could hear you read all day. You know, thank you, Laurent, so much. And we miss you, Sawa. Get better soon. She says in her author's notes, I love this poem. It is part of my upbringing. I was studying and I could not resist writing.
So this is, you know, the beautiful poem and her thoughts and, you know, that she was feeling. Sawa's poems always have a beautiful, loving meaning that just pours out from her heart into her penning. And, you know, and you can just, you know, she says it, goodbye and I remain. I'm lost in my thoughts. I cannot escape. You know, tomorrow at dawn, as soon as my eyes sparkle, my thoughts will know. You know, I can just see her sitting somewhere looking at beautiful flowers, you know, wildflowers that are growing. And I can just see her sitting there just deep, deep in her thoughts, because she is that type of person, deeply loving person. This is beautifully penned, and it's beautifully, just to hear it read in French, it was just gorgeous. Thank you, Laurent. Miss Katie, what did you think of Sawa's poem?
Oh, it was beautiful. Haunting, even, I thought. I just thought it was lost in thought, and I cannot escape. So this is somebody who has got to stay where they are, but wants to be somewhere else, and that must be so sad. And I did love the reading. Thank you, Laurent. It was wonderful. Yeah, I thought it was very well done and full of so much feeling, which is an art, I think, to be able to convey that with, you know. Anyway, well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Ingrid. And Gray Eyes, what did you think? Gray?
Mute again, Gray.
You're on mute.
I am. Oh, my goodness. To tell you are such an artist. I can feel your beautiful soul shining brightly through at the right. You know, she does. She has such a beautiful soul. And I really enjoy her voice and her little laugh. And, yeah, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I hope you feel better soon, Sawa. And this was a beautiful piece. Great read as well, Lauren.
Thank you. And I'd like to know what you think, Francisco.
Yes, first I have to say as well, you know, I hope that she recovers. I'm not sure what she has, but I hope she recovers. And we can hear once more her voice, even if it's in a SoundCloud. Laurent did a fantastic job reading the poem. The poem, as usual with her, Sawa, is just the essence of her thought, the essence of her emotions. She uses nature as the, you know, as a setting. Provide us images here in such brief words. She's just so good at writing this type of poetry. And, you know, this is another example of that brilliance that she possesses.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Francisco. Yeah. And Laurent, you read her poem beautifully. I'd like to know your thoughts.
It's a lovely piece. When you talk about days going by, or in French, it's more like days flow, because, you know, it means flowing. And I remain. I see this image of her off to one side, right, in stasis, nothing really changing. And on the other side of the screen, we have all the days going by, all the things that she's involved in, the world moving, marching forward. Day after day after day, year after year, and through all that time going by, I remain. To me, the first line is probably the most important, but then you move down to, my thoughts will know little by little where to go. You know, right now, I'm lost in my thoughts, but tomorrow at dawn, I will know where to go. It's just absolutely lovely, in French and in English.
Thank you, Laurent. And again, thank you for, you know, reading for her. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
And we have My Butterfly by our own Frank. And it has a SoundCloud, so Gray, if you could do that, please.
I sure can, you betcha. All right, here we go. Francisco.
My butterfly, open your wings and fly with me upon a flight of a lover's escapade into endless fields of grape vineyards beyond the broad hills of a countryside, fascinated by the radiant sunlight and a colorful array of monarch butterflies, then embark on a seasonal odyssey again as they seek to reach their final destination. Sojourning in the rows of the olive trees, as the wind blows and softs the vines, the blue and wine grape flowers permeate the wonderful scent of nature's delights. The wind subsides to a mellifluous cadence with the gentle breeze of the calm nightfall, and bluebirds roost in the nearby boughs when the fireflies illuminate the dark sky. What a rainbow at dawn will be awakened over the new horizon of the drifting clouds, witnessing the stunning metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons. My butterfly, will I call out, be with me till the mating season ends. In the poem.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I haven't read this poem before, Francisco. This is stunning, romantic, beautiful. There's a longing here, a want just to spend beautiful moments of this, you know, the flight of the monarch butterflies. I have always wanted to go to Mexico and to go to the forest where they are in the trees. Just the trees are all fired up in the beautiful orange wings of butterflies that move. And, you know, when they all start flying and fill the air, you know, I would love to feel, to hear the flight of their wings and to see that color and to experience it. You know, this was just gorgeous. I'm having trouble picking out which one that I love so much. I do love this this stanza. Thus animated by the radiant sunlight, you know, I can just see the fire, you know, just lighting up the skies, and a colorful array of monarch butterflies then embark on their seasonal odyssey again as they seek to reach their final destination, you know, to experience nature in its raw form, and, you know, to be in love with somebody and to watch something like this. You know, to me, it's, you know, they always talk about a bucket list. You know, to me, I would rather experience something like this than, you know, to go to, you know, to go what is that place called where you're at? Las Vegas. You know, those bright lights, you know, this is a different type of beauty. And it would be wonderful to experience that with somebody. This was just gorgeous, 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 Francisco.
I appreciate that.
And
thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And Katie, what did you think of this beautiful poem?
Oh, I thought it was lovely. Yes, exactly. That's such a lovely, not a deviation exactly, Frank, but it's another layer to your poetic abilities to write something as sweet and gentle. As this. You're branching out. I like it a lot. Yes. And no scary laugh at the end. Wonderful. yes, I really,
I did tell you I do have a range of voices there.
Yes, and you also have a range of ability when it comes to writing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thought this was lovely. The metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons. And one landed on me, because that's my tattoo, is a blue and lilac butterfly. I love them so much. My handle,
well, there you
used
go.
To be, my handle used to be Blue Satin Butterfly in the old days, so I have a real love of the gentleness and the sweet. Yeah, good butterfly. Mm-hmm. You've captured all of that, so thank you so much.
Well, I have something there to remind yourself of me there, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Pardon? Sorry, I missed that.
Well, you said you have a butterfly on there, the tattoo. Well, now you remember, next time you see the tattoo, that do you have a butterfly there?
I have a beautiful butterfly there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And I can look at this and enjoy it. Yes. Lovely. Oh, really good. Thank you.
Yes, I agree. Beautiful comment. You know, Robbie said that you had picked the perfect music for this. It's matched with the tone, with the words, the voice, and the music. Bravo. Thank you, Robbie, for that wonderful comment. And what did you think, Gray?
Yeah, you know, you did a fantastic read on your poem. But, you know, I like this side of you too, the nature-loving side, even though it is, you know, kind of a bit romantic to it. My butterfly, who I call out, be one with me till the mating season ends. Yeah. And, no, I mean, you know, it's such a, the migration of the monarch butterflies fascinated me since I was a kid, you know, how they know where to go and, you know, do their business and then spread out around the world. It's just fascinating to me. So I thought it was wonderful.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gray. And Laurent?
Everything that everyone has said prior, I wholeheartedly agree with what it said. Said all those things. The way you began is open your wings and fly with me. It's almost it's a child's universal dream to fly away, and an adult's dream to fly away with someone. So that hit me very nicely. And then there's some wonderful phrasing all the way through this. I like the radiant sunlight, the seasonal odyssey. I thought those work well. I love the use of the word sojourning, sojourning in the rows of the olive trees as the wind blows and sighs the vines.
Mm-hmm.
The mellifluous cadence was very good. A rainbow at dawn was nicely done. All the way through here, I like this. But I say, oh boy, that last stanza, bit of a bounder, aren't you, leaving her at the end of the mating season? Great piece, Frank. Loved it.
Thank you, Laurent. And do you want to say anything about your poem, Francisco?
Did he get dropped?
Frank?
Yeah, he did.
Oh no. Well, how about Frank? Yeah, well, that seems that what's happening tonight. So call back Frank. Okay,
we have a silence.
Oh, Miss Katie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that silence was starting to freak me out. But we're all here. Frank will come back in a moment. So the next one we have is, the next poem up is Little Boxes by A.R. Mundell. And I will read Amy's poem, if nobody minds too much. So this is Little Boxes. Little boxes all the same. They took the pastures, made them tame. Little tiles on fertile soil where hoes and ploughs and hands did toil. Little trees encased in brick pay homage to the trees they took. those spanning years replaced by days, now little boxes mark their graves, with metal cards and shiny shoes and flowers caged in metal pews, and all the wildlife pushed aside to make room for this human tide. Yet still they kept that little stream, those little squares of verdant green. They wanted space in nature's breast, but not enough to keep the rest. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read of Amy's poem, Armandel. Miss Katie, and let's go ahead. Oh, Frank is back. Hold on a minute. What did you think of Amy's poem, Greg?
I thought it was touching, you know. You can feel the loss of nature if you read through it, because man is so hell-bent on building everywhere. And, you know, so we're losing all of our green lands, and we're losing so many species a day. It's just incredible. So, yeah, little boxes aren't going to cut it, unfortunately. But it's definitely thought-provoking, for sure. Makes you think about where we're at today and what will be left for our children and our children's children.
We're only living
in tin cans up in space.
Yeah, the way we're treating Earth, I won't doubt that one bit. You know,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that I believe humans have forgotten to do is how to live with nature and grow with nature. And we know development causes so much damage. You know, especially fracking, you know, for oil and stuff like that, you know, it causes immense damage. And, you know, like she talks about these little boxes where, you know, you can go into these, especially here in the Southwest, they have a lot of ghost towns. Where there's maybe one or two people living there, and all you just see the homes, the stores, the broken down cars, the garbage that they left, that, you know, you don't see nature and her natural form. Now it's scarred and marred with development. And I thought, you know, like, you know, and it just, you know, more and more, homes are needed, because we keep, you know, humanity keeps expanding. And, you know, as she says here, and all the wildlife pushed aside to make room for this human tide. And, you know, and I'm just thinking, you know, like they keep developing in areas, you know, like, for example, Florida, where the ground is spongy and the houses, you know, the holes open up, and causing homes to be sucked into the ground, you know, where they develop, where there isn't enough water to support the community. And, you know, it's just to me, greed is being driven by the housing project, and there is no consideration for the environment. And I thought this was very well expressed and very well penned with her short little stanzas. And, you know, brevity-like stanzas, and I enjoyed it very much. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I thought it was done almost, I guess you could call it a nursery rhyme kind of tempo, maintaining a strong simplicity in the word choice. Each stanza, really, a little gem, little trees encased in brick. They homage to the trees they took. All the way through, I was very much taken by the tone of this. And, what you guys said about it bears true, obviously. But I take heart knowing that eventually Mother Nature reclaims the soil. And even though it may take years, you know, you wait long enough and you'll go back and you'll see Mother Nature has taken over once more. And man has just melted into the earth.
Great comment. Yeah, but it takes a long time and it's scarred. And Francisco, great comment, Laurent. Thank you. And what did you think, Francisco?
Yes, I'm going to agree, you know, not being cliche here with what Laurent did. I think the whole notion of this, you know, of what we use, you know, what we abuse in particular of Mother Nature, the only consequence to that is the degradation of our own humanity. You know, we shouldn't rely on Mother Nature for everything. We should leave it as it is and learn to adapt ourselves to it instead of trying to butcher it. But I thought overall the poem really provided us an insight into what, you know, what it can be if we continue this path here of self-destruction, or not self-destruction, but of destruction of Mother Nature.
Agreed. Excellent comment. And we have a new caller. Caller 807, area code. Who am I speaking with?
It's Robbie.
Hi, Robbie. The first time I've heard your voice. Hi, Robbie.
Hello. I call sometimes, but I think it's been a while since I've called on this particular show. So.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there, Roberto.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. Would you like to make a comment? Pardon
me? The part that caught me the most was, as I bounce back to the screen here, with metal cars and shiny shoes and flowers caged metal cues. And like it kind of, to me, that very well reflected that idea of how we cage Mother Nature, like, you know, putting something natural from it, like flowers, you know, in metal cages, and then talking about the cars, you know, metal cars and shiny shoes. So that part, or that little stanza, is to me kind of what summarized the point of the whole poem the best. It kind of focused in the whole poem on that, like on that one point. And there's just a lot of a feeling of kind of like, I'm not too sure how to put it, but like where it says those spanning years are placed by days, now little boxes mark the graves. And so it's kind of like this funeral, I guess you could almost say, like it's like these little artificial coffins for that we create for what we take from Mother Nature.
Agreed. Excellent point, Robbie. Thank you. And welcome to the show. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my mute button
went
adrift. And I'm back. That was not very much fun. That makes me panic. Where am I? Okay, so now we have Next Time Around. It is, isn't it? It's like totally, whoa. I live in this universe where other people basically can't get in, and it's, you know, I come out occasionally. And that's why, definitely. Okay, next, be serious, woman. Okay, Next Time Around by Laurent Yvon. And would you read this for us, please, Laurent?
Certainly. Next Time Around. One hand extended beyond the urn of ashes, carved contrivance with lives immolated death. Designated plots selected, blood money for marble memories, prepared for eternity, lay poised, waiting patiently. When comes the last breath, the disassociation of mind with flesh that creaks even toes? I've seen bananas ripen, darkening in their skins. I have become banana-like, rooted flesh of the wise man. Hanging in bunches, greengrocer's green, bending yellow, waiting to fall. Consumed, reborn, consumed, narrow cycles of existence. Atoms spread in digestion, awkward cargo disposed of. I have seen the mouths of man, rapacious, tearing at meat. Soft lips and pressure are all that is required for me. I've instructed God that low-hanging fruit is not a goal I might have chosen. Rather, I seek to run with wolves. The next life would like to remember this life and so on and so forth. Why waste the experience? Much better I might be if allowed to remember, to build on what came before, as opposed to castles in the sand, vanishing with each encroaching wave, needing rebuilding anew. Same flaws intact, perhaps. Oh, bury the flaws. Burn them. Only clean ashes remaining for the next time around. End poem.
Well, Laurent, this poem is, for me, it's really deep. I felt you thinking about your life in this, you know, talking about how I'm going to ask you a question because it just curious. Designated plot selected. Are you talking about purchasing a grave?
Well, there are two ways that our remains are disposed of.
Money for marble memories?
Yeah, there are two ways our bodies are disposed of. One is where we're burned, and you get placed in an urn, or you're going to select a burial plot, and you're going to buy a big marble with your name carved on it, and that's where you are for eternity. So I was starting things that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, and I got, you know, and then, you know, for me, I got a big kick where you wrote, I have seen bananas ripen, darkening in their skins. I have become a banana-like fruited flesh of the wise man, you know. You know, that's one of the things, you know, I you know, aging has its, to me, its benefits, and it has its issues, you know. But, you know, youth, you know, I don't have that pressure. I feel like I have to conform, you know, all that peer pressure. You know, people think that peer pressure is just in high school, but it's not. It can be in your workplace, you know, getting you to conform to some things that I did not want to do and I refused to do them. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I have developed some wisdom in my life and, you know, and then, you know, life, you know, how when we die, you know, I really love that, metaphor that you used about your life. You didn't want to build on what came before as opposed to castles in the sand. I would want to be reincarnated, reborn in the sense that I could remember the mistakes I've made in the past and not be judged by them, but to become a new person and to build on the knowledge that I've learned. I mean, that would be a fabulous experience. And I also liked where you said, I might have chosen, I've instructed God that low-hanging fruit is not a goal. I might have chosen, rather, I seek to run with the wolves. That has always been in my nature, to be free, to feel free, and to enjoy life. My mind is going 100 miles an hour reading your different stanzas. This is very thought-provoking to me. And insightful. I mean, I know a lot of times I take what you write personal because that's just the way I am. And this just fascinates me, you know, to keep your intelligence and, you know, intelligence to me has always been something, you know, and I've said this before, is some, you know, sexy, you know, and I really enjoyed this poem, Laurent. I may be skipping around because all your different stanzas are making my mind run like a hamster in a wheel. I enjoyed this.
Well, thank you for those nice comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Katie, what did you think of this fabulous poem by Laurent?
Oh, as ever, very well written, very clever, and emotion there in spades, as they say. I really enjoyed it. Your use of alliteration is just so subtle. Sometimes, you know, that can be, you can be bombarded by it. This is what I call clever writing. And this, your writing, is just balanced very well. And you read it so well, which is lovely. So, yes. I particularly like, I have become banana like, fruited flesh of the wise man. Oh, so cool. I'm going to call you Banana from now on. Oh, Banana. I loved it. I really enjoyed it so much. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
And Gray Eyes? Sorry, Laurent. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
I liked it. You know, it was deeply introspective, intelligent, thought-provoking. You know, you have a way with words that just really captures the mind, keeps hold of it even after the rite has been read. You know, I think we all get right, so carpe diem. Great message.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think, Francis?
You know, those first two stanzas were very powerful, very vivid, and it made me think a bit about that, what you were saying before, Lou. But then after the first two stanzas, I really started to see a bit of Laurent's message in this poem here when he talks about bananas and that, you know. And I really enjoyed the philosophy expounded in this piece here. You know, he uses the metaphors, the metaphors to just reflect very, to reflect very, very unique and peculiar type of experience, which, you know, which is the, you know, reflecting on death and what pursues death afterwards. You know, there is that notion there which we all ponder. You know, regardless of what creed we profess or if we don't, you know, we always have that suspicion there of can be, what lying can be afterwards. But it's a very, very insightful poem. I do believe that what Ray said, but I also believe there's an express philosophy here in this poem, one that's used very, very well, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. And Robbie, I would love to know your thoughts on Laurent's poem.
Well, I had the same experience. The hamster in the wheel going away to this. And I related to this poem very personally because the thing is with the mentions of karma and that, it's fascinating to me. They actually say, like, in karmic circles or in Buddhism and that, where they believe in karma, that the reason you don't remember your past lives is because of all the, you would go, like the weight of all the centuries would crush you because it's not so much the number of thoughts, but it's just like think of all the people that you've lost in this life, just this one lifetime. And imagine if you remembered all the people you lost in, say, 50 lifetimes. All the mistakes that you made in 50 lifetimes. So, you know, so for the universe and its wisdom to keep you from going insane makes it so that you forget from one, you know, from one lifetime to another. So it was a fascinating concept to me that I just thought of, like, what if karma could work in a way where you could learn from each lifetime but not... somehow be crushed by the, you know, the weight of all the mistakes you've made and all the people you've lost in that. So on that level, I was thinking about that a lot. And also, I'm older than I sound on the air. Most people think, like when they see me or when they hear me, they think that I'm around 30, but I'm older than that. And I've had a life that has been lived in such a way that, unfortunately, I'm only starting to really live my life now. And so I think about that a lot. Like, I want to put in as much in all the years that I have left now as possible. I want to live every day as much as I can. And I can't remember. I wish I remember where I heard it from. I think maybe it's a Bible reference, but there's a maybe Methuselah. Like it said, you shall live more in 1 year than most men live in a lifetime. And that's like my motto for so that. The poem made me think of that, trying to, you know, to live well and to live wisely and not waste. Not to waste any time. And
hey, Robbie.
So, yeah.
The remembering need not be conscious. The id and the ego can learn and avoid the mistakes that they often make and leave us out of it, so to speak. It's me, but it's not me. It's them, which is me.
Yeah.
If you see my view.
Well, that's why I was thinking about that. Is like. Like if that's something that's gonna stick with me. That I'm gonna think about is like how karma works and you know like how it can be done in a way where you know you're kind of like you're talking about like the id and the ego and separating things out so that you're learning but you're not being crushed in that. So yeah, it definitely got me thinking.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you. What a fabulous in depth. Comment. Yeah, I do have that hamster in the wheel right now because this poem is written so well that it just it's you know it's food for thought in the sense that it fertilizes the things that I think of. They're very well written, Ron. Thank you so much. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, and our next poem is Chances by Jack Tomkovic. And Frank, would you like to read this one for us, please?
All right. This is a poem by Jack Tomkovic. It's called Chances, and it goes like this. Poet takes dances on dances and romances, finding Cinderella right before she meets the prince sweeping her up on a magic carpet that flies to the stars. Past Jupiter and Mars and back to Earth for a week in the Bahamas, in the boat. that woke me up there, the Bahamas there.
They had to come back to the honeymoon and the bridal
party.
There
you go.
you did a fabulous job in reading Jack Tomkovic's poem. You know, he said he was some silly thoughts on love and Cinderella. I thought that he captured this beautifully, the dances and the romance and, you know, you finding your Cinderella. And, you know, in some ways, you know, when you're in love with somebody, for me, it's like a spiritual, earthly connection. And, you know, but with him, he did it with a taste of humor, and that's, you know, that's another thing. Somebody that has a brain is just so sexy with intelligence, and then to have a sense of humor, what more could a woman want? I love this, Jack. And I'd like to know what you... Fabulous read, Frank. What did you think, Miss Katie?
Yes, another beautiful piece of poetry. I like Jack's work very much. He has a lot of integrity, which I think is so appealing. And this, I thought, I love the fact that he's off for a week in the Bahamas. That's so cool. Cinderella obviously has air miles. Very good to know. I thought he did this beautifully, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I always like Jack Tomkovic's sense of humor. You know, it's, you can relate to it, you know, you can feel it and relate to it. So, great job.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent read, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray. Excellent comment. And what did you think, Laurent? Laurent, what did you think of Jack Tomkovic? Yeah, he dropped. Okay. So what did you think of the poem, Robbie?
I like the it was very witty. It was like punchy with its it had a point to make, and the point was like a deeper point, but he made it in a very whimsical and witty sort of way, and you know, it's like a back to, I like that that sentiment of, back to earth for a week in the Bahamas. It's like, all this flights of fancy and everything, but let's get back down to earth and go to Bahamas. And then Jupiter, it says past Jupiter and Mars. I'm wondering, I asked him if in a comment, I asked him if that's referencing the song Fly Me to the Moon. Because, Fly Me to the Moon. And, let me see what let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. That's the line. So, yeah, there is that. And I'm glad I was on mute because I was laughing so hard for a couple of seconds, because with how his poem went back down to earth, literally the last line, I was thinking of when I had a poetry assignment way back in grade school, and I couldn't think of much, and I was like, I'm watching TV and the TV set's busted, damn it all. And I laughed at myself when I have my memory of that. It's like I just was so blunt. Just damn it all.
See, thank you, Robbie, and Frank. You did a fabulous job of reading Jack's poem. What do you think?
Well, I'm wondering. I'm contemplating what's better, Cinderella or Bahamas? What he called. Take a path on Cinderella, go to the bar.
That was funny. Angry. Thank you.
We never bring back these long poems, but they are wonderful, poems.
And I think, we may be able to sneak in two, depending on how long they are. We're ready for another poem, Miss Katie.
Okay. Let's have a look. The Discarded Collection in the Winter of My Mind is by, that's pretty long. That might just be the only one we could do. So I'll go, excuse me, I'll have to go for another.
She has a SoundCloud.
I know. Do you want me to play it or put it up or what? I'll go for a shorter.
Gray? Yeah. Gray? Gray?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting to it now. I'm getting it. Here we go.
The Discarded Collection in the Winter of My Mind. In the winter of my mind, I'm paying dues and killing time. One step, two steps, three steps, four, watching love walk out the door. Memories are haunting me like woodland creatures in a Disney movie. I can't sing except the notes falling from my out-of-tune heart. Still, I carry the song of the looking glass that shows me the prism of a beautiful past. I am holding the stones to break the bones of a once upon a time, traded for knowledge of another world. My collection of time polished and discarded just keeps on growing ever so slowly in murky water stirred. Grief is a road I am traveling, broken glass slicing naked feet. I am not dead, I am not dead, I am not dead, and neither are you. We are living this winged nightmare each in our own way. Tell me one more time. What is my glorious purpose in this life? Fading in the fallacies of tinker toy resolutions, I squirm in the cardinal sin of black ink seduction. Knowing words are a weapon I turn upon myself, killing happiness. Joy becomes a rabbit bleeding in the snow. End poem.
Oh my goodness. This poem is very dark, and, the thought, the passage, of losing someone. Not only did she get a front page pick, but she won a gold medal in Zach's contest, and I wanted to see what it inspired this write. And Zach says that in this time of the year, I approach my most miserable self, my February self, myself right after my mother's death. Luckily, soon after February 23rd, 2018, I found someone that could articulate my emotions with music. I love David Berman, the historic Virginia poet and songwriter of the frontman of the 90s indie band, the Silver Jews. When Berman left the Jews in 2009, he left a void that would be felt by his fans until his mother died in 2016, finally inspiring him to take up guitar once more. With his voice found again, he recorded an album with the band Woods and released the self-entitled Purple Mountain on July 12, 2019, my birthday. And it says, a month later, Berman was found dead of self-induced asphyxiation after touring with his new eponymous album, Purple Mountains. And it says his last album was a suicide note of sorts. You know, and in Pam's poem, you can just, you know, feel the pain when you lose somebody that is so important in your life and you know, have to, that date that we all know that comes around every year to remind you of your life and the life of emptiness of that spot where the person you love so much is no longer with you. And, you know, where you start questioning yourself, you know, where Pam wrote, fading in the of tinker toy resolutions, I squirm in carnal sin of black ink seduction. Knowing words are a weapon, I turn upon myself, killing happiness. Joy becomes a rabbit bleeding in the snow. You know, death affects us all differently and very deeply. And if you have somebody that's so important in your life, that loss is as if you never stop bleeding. You know, because you never miss them. You know, they talk about the steps of grief. I don't know that grief ever ends, that you ever, ever stop missing that person. Katie, what did you think of Pam's poem?
Oh, don't cry, my dear. You have us all sobbing, you know that for sure. And you know how much Frank likes a good cry. I thought this was, I no wonder you're feeling it. I would feel the same. Beautifully done. It's a joy to listen to, obviously. And I think there's always such beautiful work done. So yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was sweet and sad, so thank you.
And what did you think, Gray Ice?
Yeah, I mean, it really hit hard, you know, where she says, I said, wow, Pam, this poem left me wounded. And then I put brackets, knowing words are a weapon, I turn upon myself, killing happiness. Joy becomes a rabbit bleeding in the snow. Wow, just incredible. Very, very tragic and sad. But excellent lead reader.
Agreed. And what did you think about this poem, Frank? We got 90 seconds left.
Yes, I'll be brief. I thought it was very haunting and very painful.
Thank you. And how about you, Robbie?
It was especially the end for me, too, that got me, because of the idea of how joy, like it says, a rabbit becoming or bleeding in the snow. So it's like, even, you know, any sort of joy is gone.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Oh, what a great show. I want to thank everybody that called in, Phil, for setting up everything. I want to thank Katie, Gray Eyes, Mirant, Miriam, Frank, Robbie, and Zog for hanging on the board and calling in the show. I love hearing you read. I enjoy hearing your comments because when I'm here, I have you all, and I get involved in your world and your emotions and your visions and your poetry and lyrics. Thank you, everybody, and love you guys.
Love you, take care. Say hi.
Love you.
Good
night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
What about
and
you?
You're not going to say down the way, Miss Katie? Thank you, Robbie, for calling.
Yeah.
Good night,
good night, everybody.
Boy.
Buenas noches.
Besitos.
Good night, everybody.
Besitos, corazón.
Take care.
Love you all.
Love
take
you guys.
Take care, Katie.
You too, my darling. You oh, take care.